darían en sus hipotéticos gobiernos. Pero queremos saber a quiénes nombraría usted en otros cargos y particularmente a quién encomendaría la atención a los jóvenes.
No es adecuado ostentar y exhibir los nombres de personas en un proceso electoral. Estoy convencido de que hay muchísimos mexicanos de todos los partidos políticos y no afiliados a partidos políticos capaces de integrar un gabinete altamente eficiente. He dicho que la pieza central de ese gabinete debe de ser el secretario de Gobernación, porque ese secretario de Gobernación debe ser el pivote de las reformas estructurales que el país necesita. Yo he sido y seguiré siendo el candidato de estas reformas, el candidato que promueve abiertamente la modernidad, la prosperidad del país.
Esto fue parte del tercer debate de ayer martes 19 de junio por la noche con Yo Soy 132. Desde Radio Chocelo, Abril Riveros.
En Panamá, organizaciones sociales y parte de la Asamblea Nacional reaccionaron frente a la propuesta del Ejecutivo de privatizar las empresas de telefonía y electricidad. El descontento fue mayor cuando aparecieron sospechas de que los jueces que tomarán la decisión serían afines al gobierno. Payina Tencio informa.
Situación tensa en Panamá a raíz de enfrentamientos a lo interno y externo del hemiciclo parlamentario, producto de propuestas del Ejecutivo que han generado inconformidad tanto de los parlamentarios como de organizaciones sociales. Todo inició el fin de semana cuando se presentó una propuesta para vender las acciones del Estado panameño en la compañía telefónica y en las compañías eléctricas. Sumado, de igual forma, la ratificación de tres magistrados que conforman la Sala Quinta, encargada según el proyecto de los casos de habeas corpus y de inconstitucionalidad. De nueve magistrados, solo tres decidirán sobre el proceso y de nueve se suman tres, de los cuales siete despiertan suspicacia por la relación que tienen con el presidente de la República. Según críticos, el Ejecutivo tendrá injerencia en el órgano judicial. Ayer, en la Asamblea, se suspendieron las discusiones por enfrentamientos de grupos políticos, rompiendo parte de las graderías que separa del recinto. Hoy se proclamó la reanudación de las discusiones con disturbios entre unidades de la policía apostados frente a la Asamblea Nacional de Diputados y manifestantes. Un diputado y activistas fueron agredidos con gases lacrimógenas, mientras a lo interno se pedía la suspensión de las discusiones para investigar el hecho. Luego de un receso se intentó reiniciar la discusión y el presidente de la Asamblea fue amenazado por un colega opositor. La compañía eléctrica y la telefónica generan unos 140 millones de dólares. El presidente de la República no se ha manifestado hasta el momento. Desde Radio Veraguas, en Panamá, Pallín Atencio Alvarado.
En España, manifestantes en más de 50 ciudades salieron a las calles para protestar contra las políticas neoliberales del gobierno. Por otro lado, los obreros de las minas de carbón continúan su lucha de varias semanas, ahora con una marcha a Madrid, la capital del país. Tenemos dos reportes. Primero escucharemos a Hilda Salas y después a Rafael Cuesta del colectivo radial Más Voces.
Las organizaciones sindicales han calificado como exitosa esta nueva jornada de protestas contra los recortes y contra la reforma laboral que se ha desarrollado en todo el país. Desde la Plaza Puerta del Sol de Madrid, portavoces de Unión General de Trabajadores y de Comisiones Obreras han insistido en que las movilizaciones van a continuar. De hecho, han reiterado que no van a permitir que nadie les impida ejercer su derecho a la protesta. Este miércoles también se han escuchado nuevas voces de espontáneos pidiendo una nueva declaratoria de huelga general. Algunos ciudadanos y ciudadanas también han insistido en que la crisis deben pagarla quienes la han generado y han dicho que el rescate del Eurogrupo, aprobado hasta por 100.000 millones de euros para los bancos españoles, debería destinarse en realidad a los ciudadanos.
Cuando ya se acerca el mes de huelga indefinida en el sector del carbón, Los mineros de las cuencas de León y Asturias han vuelto a realizar cortes de carreteras de tráfico en la autopista A66 que comunica Asturias y León y en las conexiones entre el centro y el suroccidente asturiano en la A63 y en la Nacional 634. Más tarde también cortaron la Nacional 630 en la localidad de La Robla. Los mineros han anunciado que aumentarán la protesta con la realización de la tercera marcha negra hacia Madrid para demostrar su rechazo a los presupuestos del Partido Popular que liquidan el sector y supondrán la muerte de las cuencas mineras. Hay que recordar que mientras el gobierno español solicita en Bruselas 100.000 millones de euros para salvar a la banca privada, niega los tan solo 100 millones que salvaría al menos hasta el año 2018 los más de 30.000 puestos de trabajo del sector minero entre directos e indirectos. Felipe López es el secretario general de la Federación de Industria del Sindicato Comisiones Obreras.
Hay dos grandes paradojas. La primera es que el gobierno dice que ellos apuestan por mantener el sector del carbón, pero sin embargo lo estrangulan económicamente. La segunda gran paradoja es que en este país se seguirá quemando carbón. El problema es que se quemará carbón de importación. Habrá que adaptar las centrales térmicas a ese carbón y habremos perdido una fuente de generación de energía autóctona como es nuestra propia minería del carbón. Es un contrasentido desde un punto de vista económico, desde un punto de vista social, desde un punto de vista incluso industrial y productivo. No tiene ningún sentido lo que están haciendo. En un momento en el que el gobierno está tomando la decisión de inyectar 20.000 millones a Bankia y está incluso, parece ser, convencido de que hay que inyectar 60.000 millones a los bancos de este país, es indiscutible que no llegar a un acuerdo en el sector de la minería del carbón no obedece a criterios presupuestarios.
La mina lleva una trinchera.
Los mineros han explicado que las marchas saldrán el día 22 de junio a las 10 de la mañana divididas en tres columnas, una por cada comunidad autónoma con sector minero. Desde León un grupo partirá de Villablino y otro de Bembibre para conformar una única marcha. Y esta se unirá a la que sale de Mieres, en Asturias, el día 25 en la localidad leonesa de La Robla. De ahí partirán hacia Madrid por la Nacional 6. Por otro lado, marcharán los mineros aragoneses desde la provincia de Teruel. Las tres columnas coincidirán en la periferia madrileña, en Aravaca, y el día 11 de julio entrarán en la capital, donde harán una manifestación que recorrerá el centro de la ciudad. Además, todo apunta a que diferentes sectores sociales, como el Movimiento 15M, se solidarizará con la marcha minera y es muy posible que se sumen a la manifestación. Esta marcha negra es la tercera que llevan a cabo los mineros en la historia del Estado español y podría ser la más importante, pues el recorte de las subvenciones del 63% puede suponer el tiro de gracia a un sector que desde los años 80 ha estado sometido a un lento y progresivo desmantelamiento. Escuchamos las voces de algunos mineros.
Porque esas subvenciones vinieron de Europa para la minería y las gastaron en otra cosa que no viene a cuento. No lo sé, dicen que quemar carbón nacional que contamina, pero también contamina el que es de importación. Y si las térmicas no las van a cerrar, van a seguir consumiendo carbón. Lo que les interesa es acabar con la minería y con las zonas de las minas y el mar. Es lo único que están buscando.
Pues nos echarán a todos a la calle. Es lo único que tenemos en las cuencas. También de mis padres y mis abuelos. Son descendientes del carbón y es el futuro nuestro y de nuestras familias.
Queremos las ayudas mineras, que nos las suban. Sin ellas perdemos el puesto de trabajo y las cuencas mineras van a ser el fin. Pedimos trabajo, es lo único que pedimos.
Y así concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
And coming up next, it's Bathrop Spears Broadside, special coverage of the Aptos Safeway expansion broad public meeting that happened last night in the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, as well as the usual with me. I'm Robert Norris. Be with you for the next 2 hours here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM. Stay tuned.
your troubles to a man who put you down. If you're hoping to find a part of your mind that'll turn your life around, if you want to be like all the rest, and you're looking for someone who always knows best, if you want to change without having to think, don't talk to me about it. No, no, tell it to a shrink. Oh, I don't believe that there's anything you need but the freedom and the space to belong to the human race. And I don't care to listen to the attributes you say you're missing if you buy the tales they tell. Tell me why they can't make you well. If you're searching for an answer in the magic of pills, if the opinion of your doctor cures more than it kills, if you feel that in your desperation you'll settle for your mind's obliteration, if you don't mind spending your life in the clink, don't talk to me about it. No, no, tell it to a shrink. A shrink, he loves to hear all your anguish and your fear. As long as you take the blame for how you feel, he'll play the game. I know that your future's at stake. There's a step I cannot make you take. If the days ahead don't make you brave, you can talk yourself into an early grave. But if you're looking for the freedom that only truth can provide, if you're willing to put aside what you've heard and keep an open mind, if you want to try your wings and fly, I'll tell you once, so did I. And when I listen, you'll know my interest is real. I know how you feel.
And that was a song from Morgan Firestar, an activist who killed herself in the mid-90s, who was a fighter for civil rights for poor people and a singer against psychiatric oppression. Morgan Firestar from her album Singing Against Shrinks. We'll be hearing a few more songs from her as the show continues. We're not going to be doing a lot of talking about shrinks and the pharmaceutical solutions of psychiatry at this particular point. But I do want to pay homage to her every now and then. She was a beautiful singer, a hard worker, and a great soul. And it's too bad we lost her when we did. She killed herself because she had a lot of pain, physical ailment that she just gave up on at a certain point. It was just too painful after a while. Not psychological pain, but just sheer physical pain. She had some sort of physical condition that I don't have the exact specifics on right now, but it resulted in her suicide. So, welcome to Free Radio, all you folks. And my name is Robert Norris. This show concerns itself usually with civil rights for poor people, and also with community issues, which I'm going to shortly get into tonight by playing tape from the meeting at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center of about 300-500 folks in the Safeway discussion about the expansion of Safeway. We have a caller, though. Let's hear what that caller wants, because callers come first. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hello.
This is Gloria, who's calling back from I missed a call.
Oh, you're on the air. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, I just played a little something by Morgan Firestar.
Oh.
And you,
well,
I know you,
I
you were her.
In the archive.
What's that?
I have to catch it on the archive.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a tape that I ran across of hers that I've archived and kept. And
oh,
she's
good.
She still sounds good, and she's still quite relevant to what she's, you know, what she has to say and sing.
Yeah.
You were with her for quite a while. She ultimately, I was saying, killed herself because of a physical condition she had. Do you remember what that condition was?
I thought she said it was...
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead.
She was in pain all of the time. I think it may have been fibromyalgia, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was thinking it was something like that. I do remember that she really could barely move without feeling pain when I would visit. Anyway, I called you for that, and also because for the moment I'd forgotten her last name, but it came back to me right before you called, so
oh,
I was
good.
On top of it. Anyway, thank you.
All right. Have a great show.
Hey, thank you. And, yeah, that's Gloria's a woman I've known for 2 decades now. She's been active to some extent in homeless civil rights activity, though not as much as others. And thank you for calling in, Gloria. Call-in number, if you want to call in, if you have questions or comments about anything you're hearing on the show, stuff you think you should be hearing but you're not, news updates in the community that we need to know about because we are a community radio station and that can take precedence. You can give me a call here at 427-3772, 427-FRSC. You can also catch me off-air at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, which is 4833. That's the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that I work with, and that has been my focus for about 20, 25 years now in the community here. There's also a second line, 469-3119, 469-3119, which if people actually are listening in from last night's debate, discussion, discontent in the Rancho Del Mar at the meeting hosted by the Safeway PR people who were, they said they were trying to get input from the community. Mostly they seem to be trying to reassure the community. And I tend to take a skeptical view of corporate opinion managers. I think if they had any serious interest in getting real input, they would have done so in a much more systematic way, and they would have addressed the real specific problems that came up at the meeting, which they didn't seem to do. They just said, oh, thank you for your input. Oh, yeah, we want to consider that. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah, well, plans are still working and so forth. Anyway, you're going to hear a lot of that as I play this tape. And I've got a lot of it, it appears. I didn't know I had as much as I do. And it'll probably be, I suspect, interrupted by some callers, although I'm sometimes wrong in my estimation of who will call in. And so that may take up the lion's share of the show, or possibly not. There are other things, too, that I'm going to be talking about. The Berkeley City Council had a marathon session about a week ago supporting Mayor Bates' sitting ban law that he's put on the ballot. It didn't pass the City Council, but it instead was put on as an initiative for the voters to... some would say, at least that's the opinion of Becky O'Malley of the Berkeley Daily Planet, to distract the voters from real issues and get them all excited about some secondary issue, which has sort of been what the Republicans have been doing, and Democrats do it too, of course, whether it's terrorism or, late cycle abortions or, I don't know, gay marriage, you name it. It's issues that, you know, are fundamentally a diversion from the fundamental economic issues that really most people are concerned about, and the issues of war and peace that really have strong bearing on these economic issues. I'm particularly concerned with discrimination issues. Maybe that's considered secondary by some. It is my focus. And I guess what I'm going to do is I think I will start playing a bit of the Aptos meeting. It was a large meeting that I kind of happened upon almost coincidentally. I hadn't really intended to go to it, but I did happen to be out in Aptos, and I thought, this looks like a newsworthy event. People probably want to hear about it. And so I went. And this tape, to some extent, speaks for itself, though I'll probably interrupt in my usual fashion. Actually, I think before I start, I will suggest if people want to get a different, perhaps a more conservative perspective, mainstream media perspective, you can check out Brad Cava's Occupy Aptos, Many Angry About Proposed New Safeway Complex, on his Santa Cruz Patch website, which describes more than 300 people. I actually thought there was more like, I think I initially estimated 700 and then maybe 500 people in the room. Big, big room. It was like a huge, I think it was the video store, previously a video store in the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. Writes Cava, more than 300 people showed up to hear Safeway reps talk about the plan for a revamped two-story grocery store that would double the current 31,000 square feet, a nine-pump gas station, and new shops in the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. However, many in the audience said they chose to live in Aptos because it wasn't modern and cookie-cutter sterile. They said they feared the new center would bring in chain stores and would look like the newest Santa Cruz Safeway on Mission Street. At times, the meeting, which was held in the empty store that used to house the video rental store Video USA, grew as cantankerous and rude as an Occupy Santa Cruz session at City Hall. I wouldn't call them cantankerous and rude, perhaps a little bit like that, maybe outspoken and maybe voice of the people actually speaking out for once. The biggest concerns included the loss of the local family-owned businesses that now populate the outdoor plaza. Others worried about more traffic along Soquel Drive as it tails out at its southernmost point. The Safeway rep said that the twin movie theaters would be gone, but they weren't sure about much else. Aptos has other plans for a new downtown that had people worried about the construction and chaos of two new projects. The County Board of Supervisors have final approval over both plans. The Safeway at Rancho Del Mar was built in 1960, and with the one on Morrissey is one of two older Safeways in the area. The stores at 41st Avenue and Mission Street have been remodeled. Safeway bought the entire shopping center several months ago and has offered some tenants leases up 6 months to a year, and others are on a month-to-month. The project could take as long as 3 years to complete once it is approved. Many store owners feared that the 2 years or more they might have to wait during construction would put them out of business. And there was, at that time this article was written, and you can actually post comments on these articles if you go to the Santa Cruz Patch website, there was one comment, "I'm curious as to why a two-story grocery store," writes Margaret Anderson, "how many tenants will be displaced if this expansion goes through? I can only hope that the remodeled store is run more efficiently than it is now, climbing over unattended merchandise left on the floor, cardboard racks holding items that sit directly in front of merchandise on the shelf, carts knock these cardboard holders on the floor. Hopefully they'll improve the way such items as milk is set in the refrigerating units, have to open the door and step up on the door frame to reach milk that is never pushed to the front, and there is nobody around to help. Every other time I buy milk, it leaks onto my refrigerator shelf due to being mishandled and slammed into the unit. The large bottles of water that are dented so badly from being mishandled by whomever. Also arriving at Safeway after work to find the most basic items not stocked on the shelves, just an empty space where the item should be. The entire store shows a lack of attention and care. The employees are great, so there's no complaint there. I would not buy gas from Safeway at any cost. It is just not worth the aggravation of pumps not working. The 41st Avenue store seems to be run more efficiently. I shop at Safeway only when I need to stock up on certain items. Drive over to Deluxe Foods, where they know how to run a store efficiently, and an absolute delight to shop there. All the remodeling is for nothing if they don't get their act together." And I got an email from Larry... I don't have his last name here, but I guess it's... Larry Ribstein, perhaps, who said he wanted to see the Aptos Safeway become an affordable organic Safeway pilot. He had a premature, prejudicial attitude going in. He writes, "I was against Safeway even continuing to have a store in Rancho Del Mar, but I thought to myself, what if it comes to Safeway remodeling its property? What would be the best solution then for everybody? One thing, the only thing that Safeway does well is prices. The existing clientele are not truly poor people, as you are an advocate for, but they are definitely below middle class." It's true, Safeway is cheaper than New Leaf or Staff of Life, places like that. Everyone seems to want more organic food, But typically, organic food prices are so far through the roof that the lower middle class or even plain old middle class folks can barely keep up. I bought organic two apples yesterday at $3.99 a pound. They cost over $4. If anyone could profitably sell organic at more affordable prices, it would be Safeway. Poorer people should be able to eat organically more often than they get to. If that Safeway is approved for remodeling in such a major way, the community should require that Safeway at least tries this idea. Our local community would clearly be more supportive and feel less violated if this were to transpire. And, of course, the real issue for me with always in these kinds of community meetings is, will the community take action to in fact, control out-of-control corporations who have the inner track on the political agencies that they have to get past, or that they are, you know, either, I don't want to say they're funding them. I have no idea if Safeway has contributed to the Board of Supervisors, the Planning Department, but it's been my feeling often that these agencies can be very sympathetic to these large corporations unless the community raises a large stink. Not always the case, of course. But let's hear some of this discussion, and we'll see how it goes. You can always call in at any time and give your thoughts, 427-3772, and area code 831, 427-3772, and 469-3119. You are tuned to 101.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, and probably if you're out in Aptos, you're tuned to the stream, which is found by going to your browser and browsing for TuneIn, and then when you get there, putting in Free Radio Santa Cruz, FRSC. And there we go. Let's hear some. Assuming, of course, we can set the speed properly, which I think we can.
Free Radio. So here's the sign outside the meeting place, Attention Aptos Community. You're invited to attend a meeting to discuss the renovation and modernization of the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. Purpose of the meeting is to provide information about the preliminary project concept and goals and obtain input from the community. There'll be a presentation by the project team. Oh, this is a Safeway projection. There's a Safeway production. There's a motto there. Their insignia is there, followed by a Q&A. Questions, please contact Charlie Edie or Deidre Hamilton, Hamilton Swift and Associates, 459-9992. We have, so it looks like about 300 people seated, 50 people standing in this room.
And he'll be doing the bulk of the presentation tonight. The other people, just so that you know, this is Marina, Jennifer, and Ian. These are the people, if you have any questions, if you have any problems, if you need more cards, if you want us to pick up the cards, these are the people that will help you with that. There's food.
What was being done here was the system of channeling questions by having people write on the cards. Rather than raise their hands, although people did raise their hands, and eventually they kind of pressured people running the meeting into letting them speak, although when things became more outspoken, the meeting was broken up into small groups by the people running the meeting, perhaps to avoid the kind of strong commentary that was coming from the audience.
And drink in the back, non-alcohol, of course, I meant coffee, tea, and water. Their hand, that means there's a seat next to them.
Interestingly enough, this center was around then, so, you know, it goes back a long way to get this time. I've been in Rio Del Mar for a while.
So I'm told by inquired about the sign I'm carrying to the Safeway Megastore. The question is, why isn't there a representative from the City Council here? I guess it's perhaps the Board of Supervisors, since we're in the unincorporated area. So here's the Safeway stuff.
Right now, the center has about 131,000 square feet. The proposal is to increase that to around 155,000. So that means the net increase is around 23,000-24,000 square feet, about 18%. So again, it's already a large center. It's already a shopping center with a grocery anchor and a sub anchors. It's going to be a shopping center with a grocery anchor and sub anchor with more space. Most of the retail space that is not Safeway space currently, there's about 96,000 square feet. And the idea with this proposal is to be able to maintain that amount of square footage so that, you know, there's a lot of concern about the tenants and the people that are here now and the businesses.
So this is the wrap of the Safeway representative, and it can be pretty tedious. And he had some demonstration displays, and he had control of the mic, and he and his staff were sort of attempting to sort of, schmooze the crowd, or, you know, if you want to be generous, you say they're trying to inform the crowd of their plans. We have a caller, however, on the line on a completely unrelated subject, and that's going to happen throughout this show. For those of you who are new to my show, I get a lot of calls on a lot of different subjects, so you have to bear with me. Hi there, Red. How you doing?
Hey, Robert. Yo. I'm breathing, and I'm able to walk a little bit.
Now you've been talking
about cancer.
Now you yourself who were diagnosed with cancer how long ago?
Well, I had surgery, I had chemo, I had radiation, and they both of us killed me. And then they said that when it comes back again, it'll come back to breast cancer, it'll come back to your liver, your spinal column, and your ovaries, and it came back again. And I talked to the American Cancer Society. It runs the whole nation. And as it did, they sent me one $20 check for gasoline. I go, well, that takes me one doctor's visit. I got to see the doctor every fucking week for 3 to 5 years. And that's all they could do.
So are you saying, let me ask you, Rez, are you saying that your doctor's visits aren't being paid for by either health insurance or by the county or the city or the state?
My doctor's being paid by insurance. My doctor's a cool. This is like such bullshit people, American Cancer Society that runs fucking America, right?
Now, why do you think the American Cancer Society should be paying for what you do? I mean, what's the deal here?
Just asked them for gas money to be able to go to my doctor's visits.
So your situation...
And that's what they represent. And what, they're running around $8,000 cars, right, every brand new ones every year. And where is the money going?
So you are yourself a houseless person who lives in your vehicle, as I recall.
Right. You know what? Yeah. I closed my bank account. I tried to get a bank account at Dave Federal, and they said they wouldn't give me one because I don't have a street address.
That's interesting.
I have a P.O. box.
Have you tried other banks? Was that only the case of Bank Federal?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Santa Cruz E-Bank. Because they took care of me. I go, these are state-funded checks for disability by the government. Right? At Bay Federal. And they bring me up. So I'm going back to Santa Cruz Union Bank.
So you've been outside how, and you went through all this surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and did you have a place to stay other than your vehicle, or were you in your vehicle all that time?
In a vehicle, and I ended up being allergic to chemo, and they had to give me special medication because I had a red line going up my arm, and I almost got a heart attack. They had to give me special drugs and get rushed in because I was allergic to it.
Now, did you meet any other people who were houseless when you were doing any of taking any of these treatments, or were most of the folks better off than you were economically?
Oh, hell yeah. yes. A lot of people are better off economically, mm-hmm. and we got, like, no help. And so, like, we're just trying to make it on our own. And our car took a crap, so we had to take it to pick and pull. And the RV started to take a crap, you know. And I was supposed to be, and they had a housing list being an older, you know, 53 years old, right? But I look like I'm 30. But disabled woman with a deadly disease. And they said it's terminal now. And they said that I could die on the table within 10 minutes if I let them touch me again. or else if I don't let them touch me, I could live 7 to 10 years. I go, well, what's my option? What do you think I'm going to choose? Yeah? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to still be around.
Now, have you been out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center at all and gotten any help from them?
Yeah, Paul, they had a meeting today. I was supposed to talk to him tomorrow with the lady that's in charge of the homeless services. Just got back from vacation Monday, and they had a meeting today. I was supposed to talk to Paul tomorrow.
You're talking about Paul, the Homeless Persons Health Project?
Yes.
Okay. How about the other things, the Paul Lee Loft or the River Street Shelter or any of those groups? Do you use any of those services? Or?
Yeah, I have before in the past. When I need some place to stay because I got an argument with Crow.
Crow is your partner?
I stayed at work and then for a week. But you can only stay there for, at the most, 3 weeks. And then you're out on the street in the gutter.
And how are you treated when you were there?
It's filthy conditions.
Say that again?
Filthy conditions. Fucking lights and cockroaches and stuff.
How about the staff? How did they treat you?
They're okay. Betty over at HVHP that runs over where the showers are and stuff, she's a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's some controversy now, Red, about how disabled people are being treated out at the homeless lack of services center, as I call it, guys in wheelchairs.
Lack of services, right.
Well, why do you say that? You would agree that there's lack of services? What are you referring to?
Medical care, treatment, being able to get to your doctor, anything,
I mean, my main reason for calling it the Homeless Lack of Services Center is that it doesn't provide shelter for the overwhelming majority of homeless people, or it doesn't advocate for their right to find their own shelter, which they need to do, and they do every night anyway. I mean, you, for example...
Even people that are really sick, Like, I have a terminal disease. I have bone disease, and I have cancer, right? And there's nothing there for me. It's all bogus.
So what about you in terms of you live in your vehicle with your partner, Crow?
Yes.
And how have the police treated you in the last year or so in the middle of your cancer treatment?
We had to move over the next city over. I'm not going to say which city, but the next city right over from Santa Cruz, right, because they were giving us a $160 ticket a night. For falling asleep.
Who was giving
in our RV?
Who was giving?
I was there making dinner on the stove at 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Who was giving you?
And we got a $160 ticket for abandoned vehicle while I'm standing and cooking with the drapes open.
Who was giving the tickets? Santa Cruz Police Department or
the abatement guy?
Sorry.
The abatement guy. He says Santa Cruz Police Department.
Right.
And he runs the abatement place. And he'll tell people there's like a handicap and everything. And all they're trying to do is sleep or eat. And then they go to work and they have jobs. Right? So I sleep in an RV. Right? And you sleep in a house. But you get to go to sleep at night. But I get a $160 ticket if I'm cooking dinner or if I fall asleep. That's bullshit. I'm American. I was born in America. You know? What the hell is going on?
Well, I know that at one point I spoke with your partner, Crow, and I think you talked about how a retired police officer, Joe Habe, was regularly harassing you in your vehicle because you were parked on the west side. Though you were legally parked, he would give you citations anyway. What happened to those citations? Did you challenge them in court? How did that go?
I challenged a couple in court. A couple got dropped, and then a couple of them we said, okay, so, give us the fine, and we didn't fucking pay them. Fuck it.
What did you do?
We call them Hades.
What did you do with the? Did you pay the fines or not?
We paid some of them, but the other one of them, we said they all did because we were right here. We were looking at them right in the face. And we were parked legally, and it's giving us $160 tickets.
Now,
cooking dinner, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night,
uh-huh.
And it's still light out and everything. It's not even nighttime, is giving us parking tickets. He goes, sneaks up and puts his hand across the windshield and jams the ticket on the windshield. And he runs off.
What is the ticket for? What are you getting these tickets for?
Abandoned vehicle. Who
are
in it cooking dinner.
I see. You know, there's been a move in Santa Cruz recently by some council members, such as former Mayor Ryan Coonerty and Vice Mayor Hillary Bryant, to cut back homeless services, require homeless people using homeless services to get police investigation checks.
Because they're being out of line, you know? They're not protecting the public anymore. They're coming after the public and criminalizing them,
Red,
for just falling asleep.
Red, what I'm saying is, what do you think of these proposals to cut back homeless services and require homeless people to provide more ID and that sort of thing?
I think get bent.
You think what?
Get real, man. You know, they're already trying as hard as they can to get back on their feet. And everybody's like keep putting them down, and nobody can get on their feet again because keep getting shut down by all the rich politicians.
So, have you? What's your situation been for the last month or so? Have you had any hassles from the police?
No. We moved to the next city over. I can't say which city because we don't want any more problems because the cancer came back, and we're trying to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? But,
what about the police?
So far, in that city over, no problems at all.
What about, so the police in that city know you're there and don't mind, or?
Huh? No, they don't mind. It's all good.
So they know you're there, but they've got no problem with it.
Right.
Are you in a residential neighborhood where, I mean, are neighbors complaining and not complaining? Is that the issue, or?
No. We're like here and there. We move like once every 3 weeks in our RV, which has no electricity and no running water. I'm trying to beat cancer, right? But the cops are all good, man. And the city that we're in, right next to you, it's all good. They haven't brought us once, or asked us once, even talked to us once.
Well, I thank
it's
you,
only
Red.
That I'm statement
gonna,
guy, Red, lady, I'm gonna, I... over there in Santa Cruz, is a prick. Yeah.
So, Rick, I'm gonna cut in here because I want to get back to what I was talking about before you called.
All right.
But is there anything else? Any final words you have? Any thoughts you want to pass on?
Love to y'all.
Thank you, Red, and good luck with whatever you're doing with this cancer survival.
Yeah. Keep in touch, Robert. Okay.
You too.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And that was Red of Red and Crow. A couple that sometimes have some severe domestic problems, but have also been strong homeless advocates. They provided restroom facilities for people during the 2007 Homies for the Homeless protest at City Hall, the week-long protest that tried to raise the issue of the sleeping ban laws that criminalize homeless people in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night by making sleep itself, in and of itself, outside or in your own vehicle, a crime. And that's, of course, still the law in Santa Cruz. And it's the law is still, to my mind, a criminal conspiracy against poor people on behalf of a really short-sighted, bigoted mentality that seeks to drive people out of sight and out of mind and out of town. Getting back now to Safeway and what's going on there. It's a little dry at the moment, but the interviews will get more interesting shortly, so don't go away if you're listening, or go away and come back, or call in 427-3772, 427-3772, 469-3119. You're tuned to 101.3 FM, or possibly the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, which you can reach by browsing for the TuneIn website.
With this plan, they're creating the opportunity for the same amount, essentially the same amount of retail that exists now to exist.
This is the Safeway
in the
PR guy
more
giving
organized
you
way.
So that's
a key issue. Most of the new expansion space is going to the Safeway store. They are currently at about 35,000 square feet. The proposal is for around 59,000-60,000 square feet. Just for reference, the Safeway on Westside Santa Cruz has just opened 60,000 square feet. The one at Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard down in Watsonville It's about 57,000. The 41st Avenue that just opened is about 64,000. So that's kind of the framework that they're working in, and the Safeway people can talk more about that issue. They're in the grocery business. They have their model. I'm in the land use planning business, so we'll defer those questions to them. In terms of parking,
so it's now about 20 to 8, finished up burger, and heading back toward the meeting. We have a sheriff's car prominently double parked, blocking a lane in the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center right outside the meeting. Questions are beginning now.
Lady's asking about the two-story aspect. She said that Charlie mentioned that, but to her it looks like a two-story. So she's trying to better understand how that can be.
Okay, very good question. So, two stories in this section here, but the upper section is all one story. So you are going to see two-story from the front of Safeway and from this side angle.
Have you excavated?
It will be excavated down.
It will be excavated down. So it is two stories.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of my area. And actually, there are a few questions that the county was sort of at the mercy of how the process goes. We don't know, for instance, how long it's going to take to even get a completed application. And being was not mandated by the county. I think what this person is referring to when you... And they only require that we take notes at that meeting and turn in those notes. Taken.
A little hard, obviously. I'm trying to actually clarify for you what's being said. But this is, again, mostly people. This is all the loud voice you're hearing is the Safeway African-American. I call her a front person for Safeway because she's one of the several who are sort of directing, shushing, trying to... quiet down, control, and calm concerns that aren't, you'll find that at least my impression was they weren't really being answered. You're going to hear more of that as you listen to this Safeway discussion. And a better understanding can actually be gotten by listening to the individual reactions of people afterward who were coming out of the meeting or I talked to on the edge of the meeting. In the meantime, we'll proceed here.
For that purpose.
And that the notes
we don't have to necessarily answer all of the questions that come with that.
Worker,
we only have to turn it in to the county so that they are made aware of
this
on our
is
website.
We,
you know,
it's
we,
on the web. And what this is essentially, a person from the audience said, is this the required meeting that the county has before... You know, it goes to the planning department, and the answer is no. This is not that meeting, and I had the impression for some reason that the mic was not picking up her voice, and of course it is. And so you just get this tangle of voices. My apologies.
To advertise about it.
Half
let
a mile
everyone
newspaper.
That we possibly could know that this meeting was going on.
Well,
so to answer the question, this is not what the county requires.
I'm asking how long construction phase.
Just a second.
I'm not asking how long, or I'm not asking when things are going to happen. I know that's vague. I'm asking how long the construction phase will be, because that timeline shows between 13 months and 35 months. And during the construction, traffic will be unacceptable. It's already unacceptable. I want to move, but it'll be much worse.
Yes. Did everybody hear him?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm out here outside this meeting of about, 500 to 750 people. How many people would you suggest?
Yeah, at least probably about, 500, 700 concerned Aptos citizens, yes.
And you yourself are from Aptos?
Yeah, my name is Kathleen Lynch. I'm a homeowner here in Seacliff Beach in Aptos, yes. I've been here, for about 14 years.
And you're here because?
I'm here like most people here. We want to oppose this Safeway megastore. We're here at a meeting organized by Safeway. We're 50 minutes into the meeting so far. None of us have gotten to voice our opposition yet, so we're waiting around for that opportunity. It's mainly we're sitting here listening to them talk at us.
I've been noticing that. What are the main concerns that you know of that you would like to state that aren't being stated at the moment?
Well, I think many of us don't want a corporate takeover of our neighborhood. We don't. This was owned by a family before. It's locally owned businesses for the most part, not all of them, but we don't want a corporation redoing our neighborhood. We want locally owned businesses, local economies, local banking. We don't want corporations coming in and taking more money out of our community to their corporate headquarters.
I noticed that Safeway seems to have opened up a lot of big stores in the county recently. I also have been told that this Safeway project is supposed to take over a large drive away a large number of businesses here. Was this done with any consultation with the businesses or warning?
You know, I'm a homeowner. I'm not a business owner. All I know is that some of the local businesses, for example, the owner of Ace Hardware here at the shopping center, Rodney Hoffer, he's here tonight. He printed a bunch of signs saying, save our local businesses, no to Safeway Megastore, that many people are carrying here in the meeting. So the owner of Ace Hardware has agreed to be the hub for people who want to get involved in a committee to shut down this project. And many of us are prepared to join the organizing committee. So the contact person would be to call Aptos Hardware. That's Ace Hardware and Aptos. The contact number is 831-662-0222. Again, it's 831-662-0222. And tell them you want to be on the opposition committee. Give your name, email address, and phone number. And we need people to volunteer to organize the opposition. We need people to design a website, design the email listserv. We're circulating, we're getting names tonight to start the committee. And we will go as far as boycotting Safeway as soon as possible, if needed, to shut this down.
Wow, and how many folks have you got so far? It looks like there's a number of people holding up these No Safeway Megastore signs.
From what we can tell with the signs in there, the majority of people came here because they're opposed to this. A lot of people are holding signs, and we have the two clipboards going. We've got, they're still circulating, but we're going to have several hundred names signed up by the end of tonight.
So in a way, Safeway is helping you to organize the folks. UW.
Yes, we're here forming the opposition, and we're going to make an announcement as soon as we can. They didn't want to give out the mic to the speakers from the crowd, but, you know, we're still trying to do that.
I noticed at least a moment ago before we stepped out of the room, the crowd was saying, give them the mic, and the guy actually got the mic for the first time.
They're trying to control. It's definitely a corporately run meeting. They have their, you know, paid consultants here running the meeting, so they don't want to give up the mic, understandably, because they would never get it back.
But the consultant is African-American and a woman, so let's show some respect, okay?
Well, I'm sure that was intentional to, you know, garner sympathy. But anyway, so we really appreciate your radio station being out here on the ball with everything. So again, you know, contact Ace Hardware.
Give the number again.
The phone number is Ace Hardware at Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, 831-662-0222, and the owner is Rodney Hoffer, H-O-F-F-E-R. He's going to be the hub for starting our whole organizing effort.
And there's nothing online at the moment about that.
No, but again, we need volunteers who will set up a website, who will set up our email listserv to oppose this. Yeah.
And that should be happening fairly soon, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. You could see people here really upset. They're not letting people speak yet, but if they did, and there's going to be an uproar.
I'm hoping that people will speak up for what they're concerned about, because I guess this Safeway is going to impact a lot of people. What if this went through without any kind of blockage? What do you anticipate would happen?
It would ruin the whole atmosphere in our neighborhood. I mean, we're standing here now looking out over Nicene Marks Park from in front of this meeting. It's just incredibly gorgeous country feeling, that they're going to come in with a corporate feel and destroy just the atmosphere we have here.
I know Safeway has already expanded somewhat in the last few years, taking over a couple of businesses near it, right?
Right. I was also reading one local psychologist here in Aptos posted on the web that when Safeway went into Sebastopol in Northern California, put up a mega store, they destroyed all the local businesses for blocks around.
Wow. At least I hear a little applause from inside.
Must be one of our people speaking.
Are you going to be speaking tonight?
I'm trying to. I'm trying to make an announcement about the organizing effort.
I hope so.
But thank you so much, Robert. You've been...
Yeah, do call in if anything comes out of this meeting, because I'm getting a little chilly. I'm not going to stay for the whole thing. But...
Okay, Robert, great. Let me get you... No.
No. A question about higher rents has been raised by one questioner.
And this is going to push the chain stores coming in here. We don't want that.
Why do you have to make it two stories?
This is nuts.
This
okay,
is nuts.
I think I heard a question in there. I hear the emotion, but I also heard a question. Why the two-story? And maybe Jim...
Here we go.
You want to take that one, or Robert?
Why one story?
Wait.
One at a time.
Operates is adequate. It's if you really liked it, you would shut their door, and we would have more sales.
Improve
the service. One man says.
All our stores now are basically.
Check out Yelp. Improve the service.
Yeah. Unique. We've been here, as you know, for 50 years.
All the stores are this size, says, so it's not unique.
So we are part of the neighborhood. We're here to listen. The reason we need to have a store here is we want to improve the parking. And we want to try to figure out a way to make the center internally function better. Right now, this is a center that was built basically in 1960, which was designed the way people built stuff in 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950.
We like it.
I don't doubt that. That's why you're all here, and that's why you all have your signs. I understand that. But it doesn't function. It doesn't even begin to meet the current government regulations. It doesn't meet ADA regulations. It doesn't meet stormwater regulations. It doesn't meet energy regulations.
She wants Safeway to be heard out. There's some clapping going from the audience about that.
Don't want change, but we have to do something to the center. And whether it's us or somebody else would have bought it, it's gonna change.
A better center for Safeway, says one voice.
The tenants do well, and the community does well. We're a
smattering of applause for that.
I mean, I think every tenant here would like to see their sales go up, just like Safeway would like to see it go up, just like everybody would like to make more money personally. It's not anything wrong or inconsistent. It's just how it is. I mean, this is a...
Tonight, the rents will go up
400%.
Says the rents
right
will not
now,
go up 400%.
Right now, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. What we've done is we've taken tenants that were on month to month with the previous landlord for a number of years. And we've taken some tenants and extended the leases for 6 months to a year to give some people some certainty. and so they can go about their business plan and not be on a month-to-month, which is a kind of an awful situation.
Do you seriously think 6 months to 1 year to your lease is security?
How is that 30 days? Absolutely.
How would I like to give Safeway 6 months, and how secure is Safeway going to be?
Absolutely. We have a long-term lease. And so
security is 6 months to 1 year. I don't think so.
Is it better than 30 days, Rodney?
Oh, sure.
Okay, thank you. So we're not out there raising the rents beyond. There's a certain natural level. I mean, there's what the market bears. And if you want someone to improve the center, even minimally, somebody has to help out. That's just how the business world works. Centers all over the country get repositioned, redeveloped, remodeled. And this is sort of the natural evolution of shopping centers. So, well, I don't know. Are we doing cards, or are we just...
We're doing cards.
Card system, which kind of filters the question somewhat.
Everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Great. I'm Natalie Matei. I know a lot of you. I'm a real estate manager with Safeway Stores. So I'm actually a tenant, just like other tenants here, in the shopping center. I work Santa Cruz County. I know many folks. I know Rodney from our Almar Center redevelopment. So
Rodney is the guy who's... the Ace Hardware man who's leading the opposition to this and who asked the question, oh, you think 6 months to a year is security? How about giving Safeway 6 months to a year and seeing if they feel secure?
He's shaking his head.
I'm here tonight to be able to answer questions about a new Safeway store and gas station. I can tell you Safeway's a more organic. We're starting from scratch here. A design that can be fit. If we need more organic, more service meat and seafood, tonight is the night.
And we are developing technical difficulties. I'm not sure why. We will try a little fumbling around. You are tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM. This is a series of speakers from last night at the Rancho Del Mar Aptos Shopping Center, confronting Safeway managers and real estate speakers who are trying to persuade. Well, they're there, they say, to answer questions and get community input. The people there who are, most of the speakers who spoke were critical of Safeway and concerned about essentially being schmoozed and steamrolled, it sounded like to me. But let's hear a little more if we've got this thing working. Let's see if we do.
I just think it's too big. We don't need a Safeway that big. And the thing I'm worried about is that there are just huge projects going on. This project plus the Aptos Village project at the same time.
And tell those of us who don't know, what is this Aptos Village project?
Well, the Aptos Village project is a bit down the road. And that kind of makes sense, I think, for the area because it gives a center to Aptos.
What is it?
It's a series of shops and an open area, so like a village green.
And that's going to be located here, or
just down the road a bit on Soquel.
So are you taking off from the meeting because you're sort of tired of listening to the Safeway PR, or you got to set another appointment? Or?
I'm tired of the Safeway PR. I hope someone gets around to organizing some.
I think Ace Hardware guy is doing some work on that. The fellow right there with the white hair, actually the right behind him, right there. He's got the signs about Safeway. If you want to, you might want to talk to him. I'm with Free Radio. Any thoughts about this that you'd like to say anything about?
I'm very concerned about the traffic issue. What I'm concerned about is that if Swenson, the Public Works, and Safeway do not expand Soquel Drive, and we're limited, so I don't expect them to, the cars are going to come around and they're going to go through Seacliff.
And that's where you're living yourself?
Correct, yeah. And we're going to end up with a big, we've already got a traffic problem. It already exists today, so it's just going to be worse.
And we've been talking with?
Oh, that's okay.
What's your first name?
Stacy.
Thanks, Stacy. Anything else? Any other thoughts?
No.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So we're talking to Mark Sheldon. And Mark, you've been sitting through about half an hour of this meeting?
Yeah, it's still too hot in there for me right now.
What are your thoughts?
I think that Safeway is too big already. We got Kentucky Fried Chicken I'm looking at and smelling right now. We've already got a local guy that has a great barbecue joint called Aptos Street Barbecue. It's an independent small business owner. And I don't think we need a mega store here because there's already too many cars. I've only lived here 2 months, but I've seen an increase of cars. I know it's summer coming in. That's part of the reason, but the packed meeting is overwhelmingly against this project. It's obvious everybody's carrying those yellow and black signs. I don't have one because I was late to the meeting.
You get one right there from that guy. See the box with the signs?
Okay, thanks.
If you're interested.
Did they get any water here? Are they providing any water?
He said there's some in the back room. I haven't been over there, but I might be able to find some there.
How undesert-like of them.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think they also there's a bathroom provided, of course.
To blatantly self-promote, if I may, this Sunday I will be at the Aptos Street Barbecue playing blues.
All right.
On the harmonica. Marco Harps is my stage name.
Hey, Marco, if you want, I'm with the Santa Cruz 11. We're doing a benefit. We're the people who were arrested for peaceful occupation of a bank building way back in November, December in Santa Cruz. We're facing 7 years in jail, each of us.
Oh.
And there's a benefit on July 1st. We're looking for entertainers. If you want to kick down, come on down.
You got it. I'll do it for the fun of it and for the cause of it.
I'll give you my card. You can get in touch.
While he goes bankrupt, our local businesses cannot stay out of business. Recently, I have been going on purpose to mega shopping centers over the hill, and 99% of the other tenants are all chains. So where are our small, local, family-owned businesses supposed to go? There is absolutely no way that they can simply be closed for 2 to 3 years.
There's another concern just raised.
And the concern is that businesses will have to close during the 2 to 3 year period when this mega Safeway is being rebuilt and redesigned and the entire shopping area is being torn up.
We have been circulating clipboards to sign up for the opposition group. The contact person will be Ace Hardware, Rodney. You can call him. We need people to organize a website. We need people to volunteer to do an email listserv. We're going to organize. We're going to shut this down. We're going to boycott Safeway if necessary.
Okay.
I apologize for jumping to Safeway. How about we stay on tennis? Does that sound like a good plan? Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
The managers of the meeting, or Safeway, of course, are trying desperately to control and stop this, one might say, hijacking or redirection of the meeting by the people who actually came to the meeting to organize against Safeway and who were starting to do so at that meeting.
What was your question?
Just one on top. I know you don't like this, but can't wait. For real. That's not a plan.
Answer the lady's question.
Can we answer the question on the floor?
There's an open question in the back.
Hello?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We don't know yet. We don't know. Some of the tenants are going to be around in 2 years or 3 years.
Where it says they're supposed to store his pizza.
Now, very simple. A question was sort of a colorful, very down-home question was asked, where will this guy's pizza oven be stored during the two-year period of building when you are, you know, with also solicitously trying to accommodate all these wonderful businesses that you called together to inform and schmooze and so forth? And the answer is, I don't know. Of course, that seems to be the answer to most of the questions.
Well, we don't want change.
Remember that thing I said about respect? I understand you disagree, but let him answer the lady's question in the back like you asked. without the catcalling.
And of course, they're catcalls because he isn't answering the question, or the answers he's given are totally inadequate and indicate that the entire push of the Safeway PR team is to simply schmooze, calm, and pacify rather than really address any of the real issues. They alternately claim to be gathering information for what the community wants, but they aren't making any real responses that would indicate a real willingness to grapple with those issues, at least as far as I can see. So when this woman who's hired by Safeway to manage the meeting says respect, Safeway is showing absolutely no respect for the people in the community. It's moved in unilaterally to engage in this kind of behavior. And the community is speaking up angrily because they don't have a respectful, if you will, way of addressing this, because the system has essentially been skewed in advance. Safeway has taken advantage of its powerful position and is proceeding with its money and its connections to do what it wants to do. And therefore, its respect is not going to get you anything. The power of the community might get you something, and we'll see if that actually works and happens.
We don't have an answer yet. We don't know if that's even the final plan. That's what we'd like to do. It makes the most sense to create an integrated center, modernize it, bring it up to date standard. As to what happens to the tenants who are in that expansion area, we'd like them all to stay.
How?
And offer an opportunity to come into the new center. We don't know yet. Most of them are on month-to-month leases. So
they'd like the tenants to stay, but they have no idea what they would offer to help them to do that during this period of construction. Obviously, this is a clear concern that any fool would know about before even beginning this plan, and therefore, if they had any specific proposals, they would, I would imagine, put them out to reassure the people involved. The underlying answer may well be, we don't really give a shit. We're going to do what we need to do, but we don't want you to get too alarmed because we don't want you to be boycotting Safeway and blocking the bulldozers and so forth, which is what people in communities throughout the world have tried to do when large corporations have tried to take advantage of and destroy small businesses and community spaces. I'm not always a big fan of small businesses. There are plenty of small businesses that I have had all kinds of problems with because of their discriminatory practices against homeless people. Don't get me wrong. But I also think that, you know, it's hard to say that Safeway has been much better, and I like to see the community getting together to try to assert its power, because I think that's really essential if we are to make any meaningful changes in this country. It's not going to come through the, we get simply a rotating cast of war criminal characters running the country and running the political system as things get progressively worse.
Are we going to the hands or are we going to the cards?
That was Carol Linder asking about the pizza equipment. Where can it be stored? The question is, what are you doing for local businesses? And the answer is extended leases to several tenants. Got to figure out a way to keep as many people as possible.
Is the space where Bikram Yoga, Amidi, Uncle Quox
One member of the crowd says they couldn't answer four questions in a row, so now they're going to try to break up the crowd into different groups. We'll see Brad Cava, Santa Cruz Patch is here, as well as some other reporters. No one from the planning department is here, but according to the Safeway flag, this is not a planning meeting.
And if you do have questions for the planning staff, Randall Adams will be the staff planner on there. Kathy Presovich, obviously the planning director. You can send them emails or give them a call, and you can ask that question with them. I can't speak to the county.
Meanwhile, the opponents are meeting outside, or at least so.
And I just want to remind you,
Mary
Valentine.
is Ellen Perry?
So you want to talk some more about this?
Where is Ellen Perry? Why was she not here tonight?
She's a
Where
supervisor.
Where are the representatives from the planning committee? Why are they not here? We don't want Safeway. I don't care. The one we have is perfectly wonderful. I love it the way it is. There are three projects here. Apparently none of these people live here. They don't care if there's a Safeway here or not. This is a tiny, small town. The congestion is going to be horrendous. Why is there three projects going on at the same time? Barry Swinson and the one across the street. It's across the street. It's the Rancho. That thing. Well, why? And that at the same time as this. How did they get that approved? Three projects all at the same time.
You've been living
Where is the planning committee?
You've been living here for a while.
I have been here 10 years. And I hope to live here a little longer. But I don't think I can get out of my driveway.
You're pissed as well.
I am absolutely upset. And it seems to me that it's already been a done deal. And Safeway's a big guy. And they've got all the money. And too bad for us. It's like the Marquis de Sade. We should be happy they let us live.
So what do you intend to do to help to fight this?
See that sign?
This sign?
That sign. I don't march very often. I don't get upset about very many things. But this little community is too tiny and too congested already for this. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care. They're perfectly fine the way they are. And all these little people out here who are having these little businesses cannot survive for 3 years.
Theater isn't even paying rent.
Okay, you speak up then.
So, you were saying?
I asked the gentleman up in one of the people conducting the meeting who knows about the center. Everybody who has a small business here, they're paying month to month. The theater is not even paying rent right now.
And the significance is that the theater has some special privileges? Or?
Well, the implication is, I mean, businesses, you got to have businesses that are going to be sustainable, stay here a while, pay rent, make a profit, serve the community. This month-to-month stuff, or not paying rent, it's just not, it's non-sustainable. I came here wanting to protest the Safeway store. I think what they should do is make an affordable organic store. That would be something different in Santa Cruz. But that's just my wishes. I'm not going to raise holy cane over that.
This is Larry, the fellow I mentioned earlier, for those who heard the earlier part of this broadcast, who emailed me. And Larry, if you're listening, feel free to call in if you have any further thoughts on this. And anybody else who's involved in this discussion or has something to say on this issue, 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-3772.
They're also suggesting that Obama end the war in Afghanistan and start dropping flowers and give other ideas. And what I'm saying is, how likely is your proposal?
Oh, the affordable organic?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing more. I think that would assuage a lot of the complainers here. But Safeway has a right to try and market their business the way every little store in the entire county does. And this place is dilapidated. They're offering to improve it. Traffic is unbearable now. I can't get out of my driveway now. Maybe this will improve things. I don't know.
We've been talking with
Larry Reepstein.
Thanks, Larry.
A local resident.
All right. This should be Free Radio wants to know. We're talking with
Oh, I'll never answer.
Oh.
I won't tell you that.
Okay, but
I do Friends of Aptos Merchants. It's my Facebook website to protect our little people who are not having any voices for themselves.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in eminent domain. I don't believe in squashing them.
So you think that they've broken the meeting into small groups as a way of
managing them up.
That was my thought, too, actually.
And I also think that they chose Aptos because it's an unincorporated area. And there's only one layer of bureaucracy to go through. Santa Cruz County planning is one thing. Municipal planning is another. There is no municipal planning for Aptos. Aptos sees no net gain from their sales tax revenue generated from any sales in the shopping center. It all goes into the county general fund. And we all know how well the county takes care of little old Aptos.
Now, how much money will Safeway actually be returning to the community would be my thought. How much will be exported
who
elsewhere?
Who knows? It's a variable. We'll never know that variable either. I do know what these little people make, though. I do know what their net is.
And you're pointing to the...
My little friends down here.
Baskin-Robbins.
Baskin-Robbins,
I
Eric Jelly. Yes, I do, too. And I've known... I knew them all.
Flora, et cetera, et cetera.
The whole shebang.
And they will not survive 3 years.
So how can folks get more information about this? Any suggestions?
Good idea. Well, the planning committee.
No, they'll filter you out.
Not here. Yes.
They'll filter you out. They're so afraid.
Not here.
They're so afraid, that whole department. They'll filter you out. You won't be allowed to go in unless you have a reason to go in. They'll ask you 9 different questions, and they'll bring you to another person.
Why do you care? Don't you think it's wonderful?
Don't you understand? What about this? Don't you understand?
So where can you go to get good information about this?
I have no idea.
Perhaps from you setting up an eye? Certainly not.
All I have is what I hear from vitriolic people like myself.
Well, maybe you have the right information.
Maybe I do.
And maybe you can get more information and pass it on?
Well, I have a proposal for these gentle people, and I use that term loosely, to help them protect these vendors while they're in transition.
The truth, I don't believe what they said.
What is your proposal?
My proposal is that they backfill them as like a government subsidy at 58% of what their daily net would have been on a linear average over 18 months.
Have you proposed this to the Safeway
manager? No, I haven't. I was going to write it all down and explain the math to them because most people don't get math like that.
Well, my question is, why do we need this grandiose, huge project? Why do we need that?
Well,
is it because it's so lovely and beautiful and it's unspoiled?
Well, I think your needs are the question. It's the corporate needs of the Safeway company.
No. Go to another town and do that, then.
We have.
We've chosen
your location as a prime place.
No,
you're antiquated. Antiquated, you hear?
I like
we
antiquated. Antiquated kicks ass.
A wonderful Safeway that was just remodeled a couple of years ago.
That's true. Where's the big improvement there?
They have a megastore 4 miles down
there
the road.
Go there.
They're going to ruin the traffic in the area for 2 or 3 years. The emergency traffic will not be able to get through. We can't use Highway 1. They're going to get rid of a local theater where the gentle older folk like to go. They don't even want to go as far as 41st Street, let alone Santa Cruz. They're going to take away the amenities of the local people that they enjoy. They're going to cut down some beautiful, old, wonderful cypress trees that have curled their way through generations here just to put in a flat roof parking lot that's the top of their megastore. We don't need a megastore when we've got one 4 miles down the road. The people that are living in this area don't want to have to go through 3 acres of grocery store to find the milk and the bread.
Right.
They want to be able to go to their local little store. This one is fine for us.
This is all we need.
We go to the Ducks. Or we go to the farmer's market on Saturday. Get a grip.
I can't get anything there that I want anyway. Did you find what you wanted today? No. What is it you want? A veal chop. Oh, we don't have that. We can't get veal.
We've also heard that Safeway has done the same thing in a place in Calgary in Canada, where they emptied the stores out. They haven't been refilled. And, this is typical. They move in, push everybody out. They don't ask questions. And then the little people are gone. Like somebody else said in there, the other stores that they have built, they've been replaced by chain stores. The little people's stores are gone. And we know we're supposed to be building independent business in this country, and we're killing it. These big corporations are killing it.
And, of course, there's more. That, again, is from last night, a meeting called by the Safeway opinion managers, or perhaps, if you want to be generous, opinion gatherers, talking to hundreds of people in a meeting of, many critics, I suppose some supporters of the Safeway move, and some people who just wanted to educate themselves. Zach Friend, a new supervisor, former police department PR whitewash guy, was in the audience in his business suit, avoiding my gaze, I might add. And Jerry Henry was also in the audience. Jerry Henry is an activist who supports the rights of young people to be able to use the community center, the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, but who have in various points in the past 2 decades been hassled by police and private security guards. He stood up for their rights and as a consequence was kicked out of the coffee roasting company there. He continued to protest in front of the roasting company for years and years and just talked to people there about their rights. He was at that meeting concerned about, he was there with his disabled companion, or he's a disabled guy. He had his big black dog with him, and apparently he's been having trouble getting that dog into different places. I hope to hear from him in the near future. But that's all I'm going to provide at this particular time for that particular issue, because it doesn't sound like we're getting a lot of incoming calls, and there's other stuff to do. And while I prepare that, let's hear a little bit more from Morgan Firestar from Singing Against Shrinks.
Woke up this morning, hearing you call. Haven't seen you since you were a kid, but I've heard it all. For an ounce of depression, you've had a pound of cure. And they think they can help you, but they're really not sure. Are you a basket case, my cousin? Have you lost your soul to their games? I've seen their victims by the dozen, and I don't think it's you that's insane. I understand depression, had it since I was 3. I know what you've been through, because it happened to me. I believed in the doctors in a medical way. If I'd kept on believing, I'd be a space case today. Are you in trouble now, my cousin? Are you calling out my name? Are there shock doctors by the dozen trying to torture your brain? I tried to visit, but I didn't have time. It's hard to see you across 3,000 miles. I'd send information, but it wouldn't get through. So I'm here on the sidelines, and I'm rooting for you. Why don't you look inside, my cousin, and see the anger you can't control? I've seen sufferers by the dozen, afraid to step out of that role. I don't like your mother, and I never did. I've seen right through her since I was a kid. It's to her advantage to see you as sick. She blames you for her problems. It's a family trick. Have you given up, my cousin? Are you just too tired to try? I've seen people stand up by the dozen. Freedom has taught them to fly. Woke up this morning, hearing you call. Seen you since you were a kid, but I've heard it all. And I'm sending you courage as I sing this song. I hope that you'll fight back and learn to be strong. And learn to be strong. Learn to be strong.
And sorry about the faded song there. We had battery problems, but we switched tape recorders. So, welcome again to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's the show you're listening to. We've got another 45 minutes left in the show, after which we're going to be hearing, I think, Uncle Dennis is from The Cream to the Dregs. He'll be in the studio at 8, or probably a little before, nudging me out of the studio. So I got to watch out for that one. A couple of updates for those who are interested. There is, of course, a preliminary hearing readiness tomorrow for those who are following the Santa Cruz 11 ordeals. That's a situation tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. There is a what's called a readiness hearing for the preliminary hearing that will be coming up on Monday of two of the Santa Cruz 11, Gabriella Ripley Phipps and Becky Johnson, two activists. One of them is a journalist. The other is a peacemaker and mediator and press liaison, or as I understand it, that's how she's being described. They face possible 7 years in prison for so-called conspiracy, vandalism, a whole series of charges that actually have very little relation to their behavior, but actually refer to the behavior of other people who have never been identified or captured, who were in the Wells Fargo-owned bank or leased bank way back last winter that was occupied by a number of folks for 3 days and three nights, peacefully occupied, and with the intention of negotiating a community center, because the building seems to be lying unused, still been unused for the last 7 months. It's now surrounded by barbed wire. If I walked close to it, I would be liable to arrest for violating my so-called OR condition. I'm one of the Santa Cruz 11 as well. And she, these two women are going to be going into court tomorrow. And I believe there's also going to be a few motions made, but the actual action will probably begin on Monday at 9 o'clock in the Department 6 in the courtroom for the first preliminary hearing for these two. At all the previous preliminary hearings, there have been, all charges have been dropped because the prosecutor, Rebecca Young, representing DA Bob Lee, has not been able to show any really criminal behavior or even the elements of criminal behavior sufficiently persuasive to even push the cases on to trial. But under the bizarre prosecutor-takes-all system we have, even though Judge Burdick dismissed charges against six defendants, the DA has chosen to refile charges against two of them and I believe has also moved to disqualify Judge Burdick because every... both the defense and the prosecution have a peremptory challenge. They can disqualify one judge without giving a reason. And she is trying to put the cases in courts that might be more sympathetic to the prosecution. She can do this twice if she wants, this DA. Even if two judges find the charges aren't worth anything, she can continue to bring them back for a second time. And then after that, she can't refile the charges. But it's grueling ordeal and a costly ordeal for those who have to get to court, don't have the money to pay the gas to get to court, who have to have their jobs in abeyance, who have to struggle to pay the rent. And several people, well, Becky Johnson lost her housing and also lost her job because teaching credential remains in limbo. And it's a serious matter what's going on here, aside from being a real attack on free speech and freedom of assembly in the community. The idea that a peaceful occupation is to be punished by 7 years in jail as a threat against people who were, many of them, just reporters who went in to observe what was going on, others who were peacemakers who made sure that there was no violence in the situation as best they could, is really a vicious and abusive and perhaps in a way an expectable response by authorities who are really morally indifferent. If they weren't morally indifferent, we wouldn't have these conditions created that occupies throughout the country and people who are fighting for equal rights, for people not to be subjected to the power of these huge banks that are stealing people's homes and stealing people's lives and stealing taxpayers' money. And, of course, all the while, trillions are going into foreign wars that are creating more, quote, terrorists everywhere, where terrorist, of course, means people who want the U.S. out of their country and are willing to shoot down occupying troops to make sure that happens, something that perhaps people in Santa Cruz would consider doing if foreign troops were occupying the downtown area, even if they were saying they were here to establish democracy and assure rights for women and, I don't know, set up a Marxist ideal state under martial law with the dictatorship of the proletariat or something. That would not go over too well with Americans here. And speaking of that, I intend to have on the show next... next week. It may not be next week because I'm having a colonoscopy at that time, getting my colon oscopized. But perhaps a week from today or perhaps 2 weeks from today, I intend to have a man talking about the importance of the right to bear arms, who's a local activist who bears arms. And he will be describing why he does and how he feels about how local authorities have treated this and his disagreements with those who are criticizing those who keep weapons at their home for self-defense. So that'll be interesting. There are also budget hearings that have been happening this week at the county building. And Sylvia Karras, a longtime community member, a worker for the rights of patients labeled with mental illnesses, has been following pretty closely these hearings, and she sent out a report recently, which I'm going to read some selections from. She talked about Supervisor Leopold's priorities and grasp of the big and pragmatic picture. He asked the General Services Administration presenter about First Alarm, which is the private security service that has harassed Occupy Santa Cruz people around the courthouse for simply holding up signs and being there at night. She writes further that Leopold, the supervisor, accepted their use during the... She wondered why Leopold was questioning the person in power who hired these First Alarm people, their use during the winter's Occupy events, and wondering why they're now still in the budget. There is currently one sweep around the county building in San Lorenzo when the sheriffs change shifts, and another one provided by First Alarm at a cost of, it says, $12 per sweep. I can't believe it's $12. That has to be too small a figure. But she also noted that the Santa Cruz Police Department doesn't respond to calls related to the county building. So if a sheriff is called, they will be coming in from Davenport or another distant place, though Sylvia was not sure how that justifies using a First Alarm security. I guess the theory is if you have private security, it's cheaper. I guess that's the main excuse. You're also more likely to incur legal costs if anybody wants to fight back against false arrests or being bullied around. She seemed a bit insistent, that is to say, the person defending First Alarm, who was paying for it from the county, the GSA presenter, that the one First Alarm shift was necessary and wanted to close the discussion, and Supervisor Leopold let it go. Sylvia had the sense that the insistence might not be completely her own, maybe coming from the county administrative officer, who is her boss, Susan Mariello, the chief, the big cheese of the county and the most highly paid official in the county, highly paid government official, as far as I know. Removal of hazardous materials from the vets building will start in July, labor-intensive. Paperwork related to Homeland Security grants is onerous. These are kind of notes she was making about the meeting. And let's see here. There may have been some further action today because Sylvia was urging people to speak up about the budget of the district attorney's office because that is being increased for felony prosecution, even though the kinds of felonies being pursued, at least in the case of the Santa Cruz 11, is pretty bogus. I mean, I suppose it's one has to look at the broader picture, and that's important. But also, one has to look at the fact that the district attorney's office has been pursuing sleep crime charges under the so-called state lodging law, 647E, against peaceful activists, both with Occupy Santa Cruz, at least to the extent that they didn't instruct the deputies not to arrest people under these laws. They didn't, but they have, in fact, taken many, many cases to court in the Peace Camp 2010 protests. And Ed Fry and Gary Johnson, as regular listeners know, Ed the attorney, Gary the homeless activist who slept with a sign on a bench outside the county building, sleep is not a crime, was tried, convicted, and sentenced to 2 years in jail, suspended by the judge. And still an additional 6 months not suspended that is going to be, he will have to go back to jail shortly along with the attorney Ed Fry unless an appeal is granted. And that has already been turned down. We covered that about a week ago. Judges Maraganda and Volkman though they couldn't quite clearly say why, said that even though it seems clear that, well, the defense said under this law, 647E, though it doesn't use the word sleep, the way the judge who decided the cases and instructed the jury put it, if to lodge means to temporarily occupy a space without the permission of the owner, which may include sleeping, and in this case it had to do with direct First Amendment protest outside the county building around the issue of the criminalization of sleeping for homeless people under the city's codes. And therefore, if a homeless person falls asleep anywhere in the state on any public property, according to this judge's jury ruling, they can be arrested and tried and convicted and sentenced to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine or 400 hours of community service, which is what Ed Fry was sentenced to and refused to do, for simply falling asleep anywhere, with or without a protest sign, unless he has explicit permission from some official to do so. And since there are no such facilities for the overwhelming majority of homeless people in the state and in the city and in the county here, that means that when a homeless person falls asleep, she or he becomes illegal. And it's clearly a violation of a constitutional right to be able to engage in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, at least with due process of law, equal protection of the laws. It's like if they suddenly decided it would be, Ed Fry put it this way, it started charging you to breathe, saying that, well, you know, we have to start considering the expenses involved, that, you know, after all, there's global warming and everyone's got to contribute. You have to pay a certain amount of money for oxygen in order to. That would be. It's hard to say exactly what specific constitutional provision it would be a violation of, since that was never even dreamed of by the people who wrote the Constitution. But it clearly violates some basic rights of the individuals in the community to have that imposed by an authoritarian group who are claiming to act on behalf of the people, which in this case is the county government and the courts. Sylvia writes further that the sheriff's portion of the budget hearing ran long because of concerns about outsourcing inmate medical care to California Forensic Medical Group. She was again urging people to come today from Occupy to come and comment. The board, even if the board refuses to use the budget to rein in the district attorney, and they approve the General Service Administration's continuing use of the first alarm security thugs for sweeps around the county building. Supervisor Leopold made several comments in praise of Sheriff Wowak, who runs the deputies, and his department, that made Sylvia think that he and the board had paid some attention to what Sylvia had written. He noted that not all criminal justice is responsive to the public, that the sheriff had facilitated positive community relationships with law enforcement, and he put into the approving motion reports back in 6 months to keep the public informed. And I anticipate he will also ask the district attorney for report backs. You know, I've heard that kind of claim in the city council so many times. Oh, they'll be back in 6 months from Rotkin and from other council members and former mayors, and it just hasn't happened. It's a way of kind of calming any concerns, saying we can always look at it again, but of course once it's in place it becomes far more ironclad, far more difficult to change, whether we're talking about the law that says you're illegal if you read a book in your car in a city parking lot, which is a law. You're not allowed to be in a city parking lot unless you're parking a vehicle or retrieving it or walking through, thanks to former Mayor Ryan Coonerty. Whatever the laws are, they tend to get entrenched. And there's more, but you can probably catch this if you want to go onto the Occupy Santa Cruz Facebook website and hear more or read more about what Sylvia's got to say. And I guess what I've got to say is, I was going to read an article about how the Supreme Court has abandoned the Guantanamo prisoners. This happened about a week ago on Monday, June 11th, when the Supreme Court decided to turn down seven appeals submitted by prisoners at Guantanamo without providing any explanation. A particularly low point was reached in the prison's history. And there's a very interesting article by Andy Worthington, who's been covering the endless and seemingly inevitable and unstoppable destruction of rights. For the first, of course, the most maligned, the evil terrorist suspects at Guantanamo, who have been held without trial or charge now for, 11 years? You would think that doing so for 11 hours or even 11 minutes would be wrong, because if somebody is guilty of a crime, you've got to at least charge them with it. And it's just, it's beyond really grasping. And it's apparently now, there was a series of decisions made during the Bush administration by the courts that said, well, they have a right to an attorney, these people there, and, you know, it is an emergency, and it is terrorism, and but still they have a right to an attorney. Now they're being told they don't. There's no requirement that they be allowed to be taken before a court. They can be kept indefinitely, which, of course, has become the law of this country for anyone Obama so designates. And I guess some people are numb because they've heard it so many times they don't know what they can do about it. Others are numb because they don't want to think about it. Others are numb because they think it couldn't possibly happen to them. And I'm numb because I've said it so many times and don't know what else to do. But I'm not going to read more of that article because it's available online. If you go to andyward.org, you can find it, or just look for Andy Worthington Guantanamo and you'll find it. You can check it out. There is something I was following in Berkeley and that I do want to play a little bit of, particularly since it's more radio material. It's actually not just my voice talking to you, but it's actually other people's voices. It's Mayor Tom Bates of Berkeley, who's pressing for hang on here, let me... This computer is so slow. He's pressing for an initiative that criminalizes sitting on the sidewalk in Berkeley, like we have in Santa Cruz, although ours actually is worse. In Berkeley, they already have something about downtown business districts during the day. This proposal he's made is a proposal to put on the ballot to restrict sitting on the sidewalk in all commercial zones in the city of Berkeley. By specifically no sitting on the sidewalks between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., except for medical emergencies, commercial displays, wheelchair, walker, or similar device, sitting while patronizing a commercial establishment, or sitting while participating, attending in a parade, in a lawfully conducted parade pursuant to a permit. One warning would be required for a citation. After the warning, the first violation would be an infraction, which is a crime without a jail time but does involve a fine. Secondly, there will be a misdemeanor, which involves a fine and jail. And definition of sitting would include no sitting on objects placed on the sidewalk, such as duffel bags and backpacks. And I think the best way to describe what this is, the most persuasive thing I heard had to do with, came from the Berkeley Daily Planet. And an analysis there by Becky O'Malley, who's the editor of the Berkeley Daily Planet, which is an online newspaper. And the editorial is titled, "Berkeley Anti-Sitting Initiative is Nothing But a Ruse." And I'm going to read that because I think it's pertinent. And I'm going to play a little bit of the city council debate in Berkeley, which went on for 3 hours before they decided to pass the initiative, which means not to set it up as a law, but to direct the city attorney to create an initiative which would go to the voters. And here's what Becky writes about that. That's Becky O'Malley. "In almost every culture, gangs of street thieves work this scam. One gang member approaches the victim and picks a fight with him over some trivial matter. While the victim is busy dealing with this assailant, another gang member sneaks up from behind and lifts his wallet from his back pocket. Happens all the time, all over the world. At Tuesday night's city council meeting in Berkeley, it suddenly occurred to me that this is what's going on in Berkeley right now. There's an election in November. A number of citizens are incensed about a variety of topics. The list is long and getting longer. The push to rezone West Berkeley for the benefit of big landowners. A chronic shortage of affordable housing. The University of California's increasing colonization of the city's downtown. Diversion of public funds from infrastructure maintenance like pools, streets, sidewalks, and sewers towards extravagant pensions for executives in the city bureaucracy. Lack of sunshine in the city government, which means accessibility to records, open meetings, things of that sort. Use of bond funds for purposes not revealed in the ballot measures which authorize them. A downtown plan which breaches CEQA, that's environmental concerns, and makes it easier to destroy historic buildings, and that's just for starters. Could there be a better time for Tom Bates, the mayor, and his cronies to pick a fight with civil libertarians and homeless service providers and their clients over sitting on the sidewalk? Those in charge have been picking the public pocket in a variety of ways, but if they raise enough of a ruckus over the annoying behavior of hapless homeless and wayward youth, perhaps we citizens won't notice. The civil sidewalks ploy is a perfect distraction from the cracked and filthy sidewalks all over town, which are a visible reminder of misuse of money, which was supposed to be allocated to public works. Berkeley has a plethora of laws which could be used to control undesired behavior which happens on sidewalks, but they're irregularly enforced. It's already illegal to lie down on sidewalks, to block sidewalks in any manner, including sitting, to aggressively demand money or anything else in public places, including sidewalks, to smoke on the sidewalk in most outside areas, etc., etc. Selective enforcement, however, is the rule of the day. If you make the police mad, they have ways of getting you, but mostly they don't bother. Adding the act of sitting per se to the list of banned behaviors won't make a dime's worth of difference, but the fight over doing it creates a smokescreen which hides the city's real problems. It's been generally conceded that with the right opponents, Mayor Bates and council members Capitelli and Moore, all incumbents up for re-election, could be defeated in November because public dissatisfaction with the state of the city has been great. But if the issue focus is shifted to whether or not the voter enjoys being accosted by unseemly street sitters, these three might have a better chance of winning their races. With this in mind, it might be wise for those of us who favor humane treatment of the down and out, not to mention supporting our own right to sit down when we need to simply ignore the anti-sit initiative. It's clear that the Bates gang has the votes to put the measure on the November ballot, so there's not much use in expending further time and energy to stop them. The campaign for Measure R, the essentially meaningless initiative designed to greenwash downtown development, showed that Bates is adept at corralling corporate capital for his own purposes. In that fight, he managed to arrange for a big nasty corporation, controlled by capitalist thug Sam Zell, to pay for a handsome and effective mailer purportedly sponsored by the Sierra Club. No trivial accomplishment. Even if opponents of anti-sitting put up a credible fight, they'll probably lose in a November election to the boys with the big bucks. And the more effective the opposition looks, the easier it will be for the Bates candidates to get corporate money, both for their own races, where some restrictions apply, and for the ballot measures, where no holds are barred. And there's a halo effect from the propaganda which spills over onto the council candidates. The most effective strategy might just be to flat-out ignore anti-sitting. No more public comment at council meetings, no more demonstrations, no mailings. There is still a core constituency of intelligent progressives in Berkeley who can figure out on their own that laws like this violate civil liberties and create more problems than they solve. These people will vote against this one without being prompted. As for the rest of the November electorate, as far as they're concerned, in presidential elections, a lot of people who might be characterized as amateurs show up at the polls. With any luck, these infrequent and poorly informed voters won't find their way down to the bottom of the ballot where the local measures hide out. And when voters don't understand a ballot measure, they most often vote no. We can count on the Berkeley City Attorney, who has done a brilliant job of hiding the meaning of the Sunshine Ordinance in his proposed ballot language for that initiative, to obfuscate this one too. Meanwhile, the temptation to penalize the benighted business persons who ostensibly are behind the push for anti-sit is strong. I've been going down to the Cafe Mediterranean for 40 years or more, though much less often in recent years. It was disappointing to see its current owner plugging anti-sit at the council, so I probably will avoid it myself in the future. We thought hard about dropping, this is as editor of the Berkeley Daily Planet, reviews of the productions of the Berkeley Repertory Theater, whose manager spoke in favor of the anti-sitting law at the council meeting. Our theater critics successfully argued that we'd be penalizing the writers and actors who depend on the publicity for their livelihoods, so we won't do that. But rep patrons do have the option of telling the company what they think, and they should do so. Boycotting all the members of the Berkeley Chambers of Commerce and the Downtown Berkeley Association, not the Downtown Business Association, as you might think, doesn't seem quite fair. When the Daily Planet was a commercial enterprise, we belonged to both, but seldom agreed with their political postures, which were frequent and usually retrograde. So she's giving a series of discussions about what to do. I guess my main interest in this was her suggestion that, which kind of reflected my sense of what to do with the Shannon Collins slaying, and the, is to ignore it and get back to the real issues we're concerned about, those of us who are concerned about civil rights for homeless people. Of course, her argument about putting a lot of energy into losing battle, which might distract people from other issues that might win, is also something to be considered, because we have elections coming up here, which I've never been terribly persuaded or worth much. But the issues do get more of a focus around election time. But I want to, out of respect for those who did go to the Berkeley City Council meeting a week and a half ago and did raise this issue, to play a little of this debate before this show ends. That's what I'm going to do now. Here it is. You can find it online at the City of Berkeley. City of Berkeley now archives, video archives, its meetings, and I believe the City of Santa Cruz is doing the same. So if you can't get it to the, you can't get to the shitty council meetings, and I'm hoping to have an update on what's coming up at that meeting. I think they may have some nasty stuff coming up there this next Tuesday. I'll try to keep you abreast of that on Sunday if I can get more information.
Remarkable life in the...
We're actually operating as a subcommittee right now, but we should have a full committee in a momentarily. Let's just wait for a moment. But people with children, please come forward.
What about the elders?
Yes, Mayor Bates, I guess we should not talk until we have a quorum.
The mayor's
right. We need to get one more person.
So the other thing is, I have been told by our staff that the people with disabilities are not here. I see Francis is over, anybody over 90. Anybody over 90 gets to go right after the kids.
What's happened is the Berkeley mayor has put off this discussion until late in the evening, causing a number of people to leave, and now he's showing his great generosity by letting children speak first so they can then go home after, of course, he's arranged the schedule, which is how they do it here in Santa Cruz as well. By making it difficult for people to be able to talk on issues at all, and then to only be able to speak for a very short period of time.
Okay, we have a quorum. People with children, please testify. You have a minute, is all. I'm sorry. You can have your children. Well,
where does he go?
He goes right up there to the microphone.
You have to stand on the stairs. He can't reach.
Let's help him with the microphone. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hand him a microphone. We don't want him to. Come on around here.
So they can see you.
Go around where your mom is.
Keep going. Right there. There you go. Hi. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us?
I think people should sit on the sidewalk because it's good, and they have no home because they're homeless, and it's really sad because if they don't have a home, then. If they don't have a place to sit or something, then it's really sad because they have to walk around.
Maybe you should run for city council.
I saw that thing that the head of the Telegraph Merchants Association wrote, and it was very well written, and he said something about the people being a cancer. And so many of my friends are homeless. I spent many years of my life homeless. And to say that these beautiful children and people are cancer is ludicrous. It's all about money. Where's the heart? It's just ludicrous. It's not going to happen in this city.
No. Okay, So I would like to actually make a statement, because I'm the proposer of this civil sidewalk ballot measure.
This is Mayor Bates trying to make his own statement in the middle of the public comment period.
Mayor Bates, we said that we were going to give our 96-year-old person a chance to speak.
This is Councilmember Chris Worthington, who opposes the sitting ban law, chastising Bates for essentially trying to inject his own right to speak or his own speech into the middle of the public period.
If we're going to hear extended comments from the mayor, then we should also hear extended comments from the city council members. I think it's unfair to the hundreds of people who came here, many of the public have already been forced to leave by the inappropriate ruling of this meeting.
Stop talking.
Let the public speak.
Well, Francis, you're recognized. Welcome, Francis. Francis, you've got to move the microphone in front of you, though. And probably she'll need a minute or more.
My name is Francis Towns. I came here many years ago, very young. I'm now also 97. And I still have a dream that Berkeley would create a place, a center serving the homeless youth. I want to then read a poem that I sent to the mayor this summer, and he never answered it.
No.
I read it at 6 o'clock tonight to the crowds out there, so I want to share it with you now. It's called Foster Children. Loving parents for nurturing meant as children of their own are sent. Others have needs for special care, which willing parents wish to bear. Federal money helps in many ways till age 18, when come job is a hard word to say.
Go ahead.
Till age 18, when come jobless days, for lack of many simple skills, then choosing climates lacking chills on Berkeley streets, their legal tests to power police to make arrests. Our prisons burst with young offenders. 3 months and out, they're still pretenders. Innocent youth are led astray, exposed to every evil way. We struggle to find a healing place to help the youth, but never got the space. Our efforts only let us hope. Politics would not let us cope, but foster children God will sustain. Perhaps this poem is not in vain. I did not have an answer from you.
But Francis,
Tom.
Wait a minute. Somebody
and
in the back. Sorry, just a second. Mark, she gets another minute. There's a phone in the back. Yields at a time to her, too. So, yes.
And I want a center serving homeless youth open day and night, all week, year round, offering jobs and job training, offering food, offering shelter, offering education support, helping youth get housing, using a youth empowerment approach, helping youth meet personal and professional goals. We need to stay focused on this because it will work. And arresting and ticketing youth will not work.
Thank you, Francis.
And I want to do this in my lifetime. Okay.
Thank you, Francis. Well, clarification. We also have a tradition in this council to allow elected and appointed officials to come forward and speak early. We have Commissioner Hurd from the Oakland Housing Authority, so I would ask that we give her that recommendation and allow her to speak and not have to stand in line because she is an appointed official.
Well, it's up to her.
Thank you for doing that, Council Member. Again, my name is Marlene Hurd, and I'm not a commissioner today. I'm a person who used to be homeless. And at least when I was homeless, I had a car to sleep in. I cannot imagine what would have happened if I didn't have my car. I needed to rest. There were times I spent all night in my car sleeping. Think about what happens if I didn't have a car. I would be just like the homeless now, sitting out on the streets, resting. They need a place to rest. I'm standing up today for them. Please vote no for the state of mind. Thank you.
Okay, next please. Next in line. Next in line. Polly, I think you're next.
My name is Polly Armstrong. I want to tell you that I think you're very brave to take this up. I think it's very important that the people of Berkeley finally be given a chance. All the people of Berkeley, not just the ones who come to meetings, all the people of Berkeley have a chance to vote on whether they want the commercial areas, not the entire city, the commercial areas of the city, to have some civil sidewalk rules, some common agreement on behavior in commercial areas. It's not an easy job. I know I sat in your place. This is the fifth or sixth time this has come up. It's hard. If you can make it happen tonight, you have something to be proud of, and I believe the Berkeley people will vote for civil sidewalks. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. John DeClerc with the Chamber of Commerce. It is with healthy commercial districts that we are able to support the homeless. We are able to support the programs. Please ask the voters, the citizens of Berkeley, send this to them. Thank you for your efforts here. Again, it's the commercial districts that will supply this. This, as proposed as I've seen, is not about midnight sleeping. This does not impact that. This is about daytime. This is about sitting lying in the daytime. It does not impact people sleeping in cars. So I think as drafted, it ought to be sent to the voters. We support your vote. We encourage your vote. Please send this to the voters of Berkeley. Thank you.
Next, please.
It was the bar.
Thank you.
I yield my time to the next person. I'm glad I'm going after that guy because I want to talk about the big money, the $1.2 million contract for the Downtown Business Improvement District. The contract includes a company called SMS Holdings Company. They run the block-by-block program. SMS lobbies to privatize government jobs, in this case street maintenance and security, which is usually government jobs. But now SMS out of Kentucky, who, by the way, got $300 million revenue in 2008. Last year it was close to $0.5 billion revenue. Huge, huge money. They're a Christian faith-based lobbying group. They're anti-union. This is a Republican working group. Sam Zell, he's behind all this. He gave the Romney campaign $2,500. Eric Cantor, he gave Eric Cantor $25,000. If you look at Sam Zell's total $100,000 campaign contributions across the board, it's for Republicans across the nation. So we have this SMS holding company which admits that it's there to take out government jobs, to privatize government jobs. They are a Christian Republican company. We have the Christian Republican Sam Zell. Big, big money. These aren't values that, I mean, these people don't even have business in the Bay Area. They're nationwide. So it's this corporate conglomerate type of value system that we're working here with. I mean, it's not the small businesses. It's not the ice cream shops that we're talking about. The people that are behind this are the big, big, that guy in the suit. He represents people who are very powerful.
Hello, my name is Daniel, and I want to please ask you to put this out for a vote. I'm a small business owner in downtown Berkeley. I'm also speaking for some of my neighbors who did not want to come tonight because they felt as if I did, their businesses, they'd be threatened or their businesses would be vandalized. It's already happened. And so I just want to say, as somebody who's cleaned up more than I'd like to talk about in my front of my own business and by my garbage cans and everything else, there does need to be something done. These kids and these adults need help. I've had great conversations with people downstairs, and there does need to be more done for them, but there does need to be help for the businesses in this town as well. And so putting this to a vote will help us, and we'd appreciate your consideration. Thanks.
Okay, next, please.
We should be very clear that what we are considering is the use of violence. Police action against someone means direct physical violence. People who have comfortable homes to sit in telling others that they have nowhere to sit is social violence, the violence of inequality. And feeding the impulse to push people away rather than help them is violence to ourselves. I oppose the use of violence against people who only want a place to sit. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Russell Bates. If I was a radical person, if I was an extreme person, I'd tell you what a load of crap this bill is. What an oppressive, mean-spirited, rotten thing to do to people. You talk about quality of life. What kind of quality of life do you think people have when they spend a lot of time living on the street? There's no shelters around here for all these young people. There's no educational possibilities for them. Before you criminalize them, try to prevent the criminalization by allowing for an education, a social welfare program, or if people are just being cool, just give them a space to hang out. Let people be themselves. Try not to be a police state. Try not to add to all this vindictive, violent crap coming down via the police department in city after city after city, coming straight from Homeland Security, coming straight from Obama. All the Occupies have been shut down. All the people have been...
Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Russell.
Judith Scott, I yield to Thomas Kinzer.
Yes.
I thought you gave your time to Francis Town. That's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're up.
Mandy Inches, yielding my time to Thomas Kinzer.
Martin Lefevre, yielding to Thomas Kinzer.
Thank you, counsel. In the case of Plessy versus Ferguson, the idea of separate but equal was stated by, Justice John Marshall Harlan. The arbitrary separation of citizens while they are on a public highway is a badge of servitude wholly inconsistent with the civil freedom and the equality before the law established by the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, the issue is not that there isn't a need. There is a need. But this is not the way. Let's look at what San Francisco did. Their sit-lie ordinance initiated in November 2010. A report issued called through 10 police stations from their international database reports that, excuse me, I got the wrong card. Excuse me. Jeez. Well, essentially, I've lost track of my notes here, but the reports, as I perused them, said that it didn't cause the people to leave. They gave him a bunch of tickets and tickets, and there was even one man who had $20,000 in tickets. I've been homeless in my life. I know that experience, and these are my people. I go to UC Berkeley, and that was my way off the streets, but not everybody has a way. It's not about need. It's not about morality. It's not constitutional. It just isn't. In the case of Bayou versus U.S., 1871, to deprive a whole class of the community of this right, to refuse their evidence and their sworn complaints, is to brand them with a badge of slavery, is to